Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Guido Saxler, Director of the Department of Orthopedics and Trauma Surgery at Rheinland Klinikum in Dormagen, located between the metropolitan areas of Cologne and Düsseldorf. Professor Saxler is a renowned specialist in hip, knee and spinal surgery. Professor Saxler, around 250,000 hip replacements are performed annually in Germany. How do you explain this high number?
Ultimately, here in Central Europe, and especially in Germany, we are seeing a demographic development. As you know, we have an increasingly aging population. And the older we get, the more degenerative diseases we develop. This partly explains these numbers. What is also important in Germany, and I personally think this is excellent, is that there are no age restrictions for surgical procedures. Anyone who requires surgery or medical care receives appropriate treatment. In North Rhine-Westphalia, however, we are facing a special situation. Fewer and fewer hospitals are allowed to perform joint replacement surgery. Therefore, I believe that due to the reduced number of providers, the total number of procedures in North Rhine-Westphalia may decrease in the future. Other federal states may follow this political development as well.
How did this restriction come about?
The Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs in North Rhine-Westphalia decided to focus on specialists, namely certified centres for joint replacement and spinal surgery. These centres with high case numbers were selected to provide this care. In the past, for example, hospitals only needed to perform 50 knee replacements annually to be authorised to provide these procedures. Today, the minimum is 100. In the future, the requirement for knee replacements will probably rise to at least 150 procedures per year, in order to remain certified as a provider.
Which conditions typically lead to hip problems?
Essentially, these are the classic joint diseases. Degenerative conditions. In the hip area, this is referred to as coxarthrosis or hip osteoarthritis. We also see changes after accidents that may damage and eventually destroy the hip joint. Rheumatic diseases are another cause, although thanks to modern medications, classic severe rheumatoid cases are becoming less common. We also encounter medication-induced necrosis, where the femoral head collapses. However, this can also occur without medication. Very rarely, we still see post-infectious conditions, diseases of the hip following bacterial infections, though these have become uncommon.
How do you determine whether the hip is actually the source of the pain?
The process is always similar. First, we talk to the patient. Symptoms can sometimes be non-specific and radiate into the back, knee, or thigh. Many patients report groin pain, which is already quite characteristic. We begin with a detailed medical history. We ask patients how far they can still walk, whether walking is limited, and how they cope in daily life. Can they walk for an hour, half an hour, or only a few minutes? Do they use walking aids? How do they manage stairs? Do they need a handrail? Use an elevator? Or avoid stairs altogether? Do they take pain medication regularly? This gradually gives us a clear picture, then follows the physical examination. Often, based on the examination and medical history alone, we already know whether the issue originates from the hip rather than the back or knee. Behind all this lies a scoring system used by certified centres to determine whether surgery may be indicated. There is even a point scale involved, though we do not necessarily discuss every detail with patients. Ultimately, however, we know exactly where the patient stands. Only afterward do we move on to imaging diagnostics. In some cases, we also perform diagnostic injections into the joint to exclude the spine, knee, or other causes. Standard X-rays are usually already highly informative. Occasionally, MRI or CT scans are added.
Which conservative treatments are typically recommended for hip problems, and when do they reach their limits?
The goal of conservative therapy, just like surgery, is to reduce pain and improve walking and standing ability. Conservative options include injections, physiotherapy, acupuncture, and oral pain medication, In cases where osteoarthritis is not yet advanced, patients may also receive hyaluronic acid injections. As long as these treatments work well, conservative therapy should continue. Muscle strengthening and exercise training are particularly valuable in my view. Patients should always pursue these measures before planned or anticipated surgery.
What types of prostheses exist, and what are the advantages of an artificial hip joint?
The primary goal of a hip prosthesis is pain reduction, ideally complete pain relief. Many patients eventually forget they ever had surgery. Improved mobility also positively affects the entire body. Diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, mental health, and general well-being all benefit from increased activity. So the approach is holistic, helping patients return to movement and quality of life. There are various prosthesis designs. A centre like ours must adapt to each patient's anatomy. Broadly speaking, we either fix prostheses using bone cement or implant them cement-free. Cement-free prostheses require extremely precise preparation of the implant bed so the patient's bone can grow directly onto the implant. For younger patients, short-stem prostheses are also available. We use both cemented and cement-free systems. Nowadays, we are less concerned about implants loosening over time. More often, revision surgery becomes necessary because the implant breaks due to a fall. True loosening has become increasingly rare, which is excellent and reflects the remarkable engineering behind modern implants.
Could you briefly explain what loosening means?
Certainly. We fix the implant to the patient's bone. Over time, the connection between implant and bone, whether cemented or cement-free, can dissolve. The bone withdraws from the implant, which may lead to pain in the groin or femur. In such cases, revision surgery with modular prosthesis systems becomes necessary. Large centres like ours routinely perform everything from minimally invasive procedures to complex revisions. This is also why it is beneficial to undergo surgery at a centre capable of managing complications and revision procedures. Often, we do not need to replace the entire prosthesis, sometimes only the cup or stem, and having access to all compatible systems is very advantageous.
What materials are used for the implants?
Cemented implants are typically made from cobalt, chromium, molybdenum alloys. Cement-free implants are generally titanium, vanadium alloys. Our knee implants also feature titanium nitride coatings to minimize allergy risks. Implant materials today are extremely sophisticated and highly reliable. For the moving surfaces, we use ceramics. Modern ceramic heads are incredibly durable. If I threw one against the wall would break before the ceramic head would. In the hip, ceramic components usually articulate against polyethylene. Today's ultra-highly cross-linked polyethylene produces minimal wear. Some versions even contain vitamin E to improve longevity, according to registry data. Ceramic-on-ceramic bearings are still available but are becoming less common because modern polyethylene performs exceptionally well and offers greater comfort. Ceramic-on-ceramic implants can sometimes squeak or click, which is rarely the case with ceramic polyethylene combinations.
What risks and side effects exist for patients?
Fortunately, risks have become extremely low because specialized centers perform high volumes of procedures and everyone knows exactly what to do. Nevertheless, risks remain. Postoperative swelling can cause blood clots in the veins, thrombosis, which may travel to the lungs and cause pulmonary embolism. We prevent this using thrombosis medication, either injections or tablets. Infection is another classic complication. Some infections appear much later as so-called low-grade infections. During surgery, bones can fracture and nerves can be injured. These are among the major complications that may occur.
Your centre uses modern, minimally invasive techniques. How do these procedures work and who are they suitable for?
In my opinion, minimally invasive surgery is suitable for virtually every patient. Many centres use a direct anterior approach. We use the ALMIS approach, or a modified ALMIS approach, an anterolateral, minimally invasive technique. With this approach, we bluntly separate muscles rather than cutting through them. This preserves muscle tissue and promotes faster recovery. Whether surgery is performed from the front or the anterolateral side, patients are generally in very good hands at specialised centres. The aim is always to preserve the surrounding musculature as much as possible.
How long does rehabilitation take after hip surgery?
This depends greatly on the patient's condition before surgery. Well-trained patients generally recover faster than less fit individuals, and younger patients often recover more quickly than older ones. However, the early post-operative course is fairly similar for most patients. Patients are mobilized very quickly, sometimes on the same day, and many are allowed full weight bearing immediately due to the surgical technique and implant stability. Patients usually stay in the hospital between 3 and 6 days. During this time, they learn to walk safely, climb stairs, and regain independence. Physiotherapy intensifies during the second week, transitioning from gait training to movement training. Lymphatic drainage helps reduce swelling. Patients receive waterproof dressings and can shower immediately. We want them to return to everyday life as quickly as possible, rather than feeling sick. Many patients stop using crutches relatively quickly, although this varies individually. We generally recommend crutches initially to reduce the risk of falls. Most patients are surprised by how quickly recovery progresses.
What can people do to avoid reaching the point where surgery becomes necessary?
That is a difficult question because genetics play a major role. Unfortunately, we cannot escape poor genetic predispositions. However, patients can still do a great deal themselves. Maintaining good muscle strength is extremely important. Many well-trained patients experience osteoarthritis symptoms much later, or sometimes hardly at all. Obesity is another major issue, especially in Western societies. We know that excess weight significantly increases the likelihood of joint disease.
What challenges do you currently see in hip surgery, and what does the future look like?
We are increasingly treating older patients with more complex medical conditions. Therefore, specialized centers need excellent interdisciplinary support. Here we work closely with cardiology and other surgical departments because older patients often come with multiple health issues. This is probably the biggest change we have seen over the past 10 years. At the same time, hip replacement surgery has reached an extremely high level. Implant-related problems are becoming increasingly rare thanks to improved certification processes and technological advancements over the past 2 decades.
Where is technology heading? Will AI play a role?
Technologically, we are already introducing robotic surgery. These are assistive systems combined with navigation technologies. I also believe we will increasingly use virtual reality in revision surgery. With VR headsets and preoperative CT scans, we can reconstruct joints even more precisely. Soon we will also be able to perform intraoperative 3D imaging directly during surgery to better assess our results immediately. Whether AI itself will directly intervene during operations remains uncertain, but assistive systems will certainly continue improving because of the enormous growth in data processing capabilities, especially with future technologies like quantum computing. The technologies I mentioned are already here today and will continue helping centres improve quality in the future.
Who can contact your centre?
We are open to all patients and all insurance providers, whether statutory or private. Patients are willing to travel long distances if they feel they are in good hands and trust the overall treatment environment. It is important that a centre can also manage complications, whether cardiac, abdominal, vascular, or intensive care related. In my view, this comprehensive infrastructure is extremely important, especially as patients grow older. We want to treat patients at the highest possible safety standard.
Professor Saxler, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you for your time and all the best to you.
This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.